Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, back from his holiday, fresh-faced and unshaven, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete Donaldson, how are you doing?
I don't feel very fresh-faced, to be honest. I feel like and look a little bit like, do you remember that guy who used to own the company McAfee Virus Scanning?
Oh yeah, John McAfee,
and he went into
rest in peace.
He went into an island, didn't he? Somewhere in the in the Pacific, I want to say. It was Belize. He went to an island somewhere and just kind of disappeared. And he came out looking like a crazy person, quite tanned, but with a lovely grey beard. And that's exactly what I am rocking at the moment. I feel a little bit like John McAfee, tanned. But haggard.
I mean, John McAfee, what a life. What a life.
Yeah.
May rest in peace. A British American. I didn't know he was British. I thought he was American. He's a British American computer programmer, businessman, and two-time presidential candidate who unsuccessfully sought the Libertarian Party nomination. Yeah. But he basically is most famous for McAfee virus software, which you must have seen and heard about everywhere.
It was all
the rage,
computers,
wasn't it? The 90s,
2000s. Yeah. In the 90s, it was like them and Norton were the two kind of warring factions.
The
and then you sort of go, well, you know, Norton didn't have this. But I just think McAfee is all about, you know, security, cybersecurity, you know, defending
tax
your
evasion.
PC from all this stuff. And then this guy comes out of it about 10, 15 years later, and he's wonderfully eccentric in an awful kind of way.
Yeah. And he did, and I got it right. He did live in Billitz. I don't know how I knew that.
Yeah.
That's one of those random, I have no knowledge of anything, but if I'm in a pub quiz and John McAfee comes up, I'm going to win that pub quiz.
All the Johns.
Honestly.
John McAfee, McEnroe, all the John Max. He's got all over.
But we are united. We are united in our jet lag. I just arrived in Japan about 48 hours ago.
Mm.
I'm actually doing all right, recovering. Funnily enough, when I went to Vancouver, even though it's kind of 8-hour difference, it's also not. Because when you go between Japan and the West Coast America, it's a 17-hour time difference, right?
Right,
which is a complete and utter head fuck.
Whereas
coming from the UK... Well, yeah, you know...
That helps, on paper, really.
It's kind of like 8 hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
To some extent. But that took me like 4 or 5 days to get over.
Mm.
Whereas this, I'm in my second day and I'm kind of feeling all right now. I've had one night last night where I actually had a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And on the plane, I think I was able to get 4 or 5 hours. It was a really weird flight. I don't know. You won't have found this, but when you fly to and from Japan at the moment, a lot of airlines on the map, they still act as though your plane's going over Russia. So when I came back to the UK in June, the map was like 2 hours in, we were flying over Siberia. And I was like, wait a minute.
We've spoken about this though, Chris. ANA, which I believe the airline you flew on, they can fly over.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
They can fly over Russia because Japan have
still
have relations, can't they? Is that true?
Nope.
Is that true?
They
I thought they could.
Nope.
They can't give you a fake map saying that you're going over Russia. They can't do that, surely. Surely the computer goes, right, we're clear. I mean, because the plane and the computer that tells you where you are in the world, surely it tells you. Who told you that you weren't flying over Russia?
That's the thing. That's the funny thing. I probably wouldn't know, would I?
No.
But I do know that we flew over the Pacific for about 5 or 6 hours, which is a giveaway. But basically, the maps that run the back of the seats on the plane, right? I think they must be, certainly that flight, it was based on the time of the flight, right?
So is that
like,
true?
Is that, yeah.
Can a bigger boy come and clear this up for me? Because I'm very
confused.
Where's
the CEO of ANA? Bring them in now. Bring them in.
Where's the John McAfee of ANA? Now, that's a part of business you don't want. Someone who's really eccentric and insane and who owns a lot of assault rifles on an island in Belize. Yeah, I used to own British Airways. Don't need that.
Why is this plane going towards Belize all of a sudden? But, like, no. So the map said Siberia, but reality said Alaska, and it was very confusing.
Right.
And on this flight, the map was right, but the times were kind of wrong.
What?
I fell asleep for 4 hours, or what I thought was 4 hours. Then I looked at my watch, did the maths, and it turned out it had been 6 hours. And I was really confused. So not only can you not fly over Russia, but you sort of transcend both time and space during the flight to and from Japan at the moment. But this flight was nice. It was good. It was with ANA. The food was quite good. And I was able to sleep, thanks to the miracle of sleeping tablets. That's the trick now. I take a sleeping tablet straight after dinner.
They do
on
work.
The flight.
They do make you very groggy once you get down on terra firma. That's the problem.
Don't you take some sort of illegal drug when you go on a plane to sleep?
Back in the day, I used to buy Valium off the internet, for long flights.
Oh, God.
not illegal, you shouldn't be doing that.
I think you can get that from the doctor, though. You get that from a doctor as prescription.
Oh, yeah,
it's
not a street drug. I mean, it's literally just, you know, it's
not
a benzodiazepine thing, I think. But, not recommended. It's not good for you. It's not big. It's not clever. And unless you are Post Malone in a song, you shouldn't be even talking about it.
I don't even know what Valium is, but I'm picturing a sort of heroin scenario. I'm picturing you in a toilet at Heathrow getting some heroin in your arm.
Bashing that muck into my arms.
But how was your holiday in Costa Rica?
It was good.
Your long-awaited holiday.
Saw many a sloth and monkey and went for a bit of a swim. It was really good. Reviews, 9 out of 10. It loses 1 point because you cannot buy tampons for love nor money.
Oh, God.
I had to locate tampons for... Not for me. I think that's
really
pretty apparent if you've listened to this podcast. They just don't use them. They're all about the pads, baby, and I've no idea why. Maybe it's an insurance thing. I don't know. I was sort of going, well, you can't buy them at the airport. Well, I don't know. Like, you couldn't buy them at the airport. And I'm sort of thinking, does something that goes inside you, is that different to something that sits on the outside of you? I mean, you're not going to get toxic shock syndrome necessarily from a pad. So maybe it falls under some other kind of jurisdiction that you can only buy from proper apothecaries and medical places. I don't know. I was just sort of going, I just don't know why. Or maybe it's just the Vogue. They just don't use them out there. Interesting, though.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. I never thought about that, and I'm kind of not surprised I haven't ever thought about that. But the idea of this is a topic. What are we talking about? This?
What a great start!
I came here to hear about Costa Rican beaches, not tampons. That's why I stand for.
Well, look, the Costa Rican beaches were very, very lovely, and I saw many. Did you know that sloths used to be fucking massive? Did you know sloths used to be like 6 foot tall? Like, they used to be absolutely huge.
And then what happened?
Evolution. And then they become
Why
smaller.
Why did they evolve to get smaller?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, I guess they spend more as 6 foot tall monstrosities. I guess they probably would spend more time on the ground where the predators would get them. But sloths spend all of their time up high in the trees, and they only come down for like an hour, I think, a week or something. Half remembering something from a place we went to, and a man was explaining that they only come down for like an hour, I think, a week, and it's to do a poo. And no one knows why they come down the tree to do a poo.
Oh, right, yeah, I read about this. I heard about this.
Yeah, yeah. Like it might be that they are trying to make sure that their scent isn't close to where they are. It might be some kind of just evolutionary quirk.
Evolutional.
That they've kind of like kept hold of, a bit of a holdover. But yeah, it's like nobody really knows why they come down the tree to poo.
I remember watching a David Attenborough documentary, and it's just the sloths just look incredible.
Look at this sloth doing
the tree.
A big shit. Look
well,
at
this,
it.
This sloth that I saw.
Imagine if that poo
swimming.
Came out of a 6 foot tall sloth, it would be even bigger.
Well, they in this documentary, it was swimming across the sea. The sloth swims across the ocean to find a mate to fuck, and it's just a shot of this lovely little sloth swimming incredibly slowly, patronisingly slowly, across a river to find a mating partner.
That's him horny.
What an incredible creature. Yeah,
that's how fast he goes horny. Oh, unbelievable. How fast he goes on a Sunday, mate.
They are good. I do. Always, great yes, stuff, yeah. I do like sloths. Yeah. They're great creatures.
I do too.
What a great subject to kick this podcast.
Lot of capuchin monkeys, lot of squirrel monkeys running around and stuff. I've started the day by eating a lot of plantain. There's not enough plantain in my diet. You just don't see it around in Southend.
What the hell's plantain? Isn't that sugar?
Nah,
is that just sugar?
Are you thinking of a sugar? Are you mixing the word plant with cane or something? It's just a big tasteless banana, and it's just like it's like a carby kind of a carby solution for that part of the world. It's lovely, fried up as a slight taste of banana, but mainly just a taste of a nice root vegetable. Delicious.
And how did you stay entertained on the plane? I'm always curious what people do on airplanes to stay sane for... To, what was it, 10 hours or so from Costa Rica to the UK?
I think it was
10,
like
11 hours?
We changed in Miami, and that was fun. I wouldn't care, I was watching the Newcastle United match on the flight from Costa Rica to Miami, and I was watching because I couldn't get a VPN on the American Airlines Wi-Fi, so I was watching the
match. Should use ExpressVPN, mate. So BroadJapan.com ExpressVPN.
Okay, cool.
Now.
There you go. So I was watching this football match, and I had to watch it legally because I didn't have any access to my Sky account here. Anyway, and I felt like, remember when like Will Self, the writer, was taking heroin on Tony Blair's jet? Do you remember that?
I think I was like 7 when that happened. So.
Well, I mean, I wasn't
probably
that
not.
Old.
I was busy listening to the Spice Girls.
But I texted a mate and went, God, I feel so naughty illegally streaming this football match on an American Airlines jet. And then when we got our connection from Miami to London, there was this big kerfuffle and these big kind of plain-clothed, dressed like fucking Tubbs and what do you call it from Miami Vice, sort of rocked up. Kind of bustled this bloke into the plane, and it was ex-Prime Minister David Cameron. So David Cameron,
really?
If that plane had gone down, would not have been the headline. Podcast producer Pete Donaldson and radio presenter Sarah Champion. David Cameron was in.
He was on your flight.
He was on my flight. Yeah, he was on our flight.
Bastard.
He was bastard. Yeah, I could have shouted some stuff. Oh, you needed your majority, did you? You just wanted to ask the question, did you? Yeah, yeah, brilliant. Fuck you.
We all know what you're talking about. I mean, when you finish being a prime minister, you get not only, I think, £150,000 a year, but you get a security detail as well,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
You're pretty much set for life.
Well, I mean,
even if
to,
you've been prime
be...
minister for 6 to 7 weeks.
Exactly. So, like, wherever bargain. Liz Truss goes, she'll have, like, a security detail, which is incredible. But, really, just really interesting to see that sort of thing in action, because they did just sort of rock up, and they were dressed wonderfully plaid clothesy. And bundled
could
him
you,
in.
Could you see him from your seat on the plane? Could you throw popcorn at him and ruin his flight home as I would have done?
No, Chris, because I was not in first class like what he was.
Oh, fuck. Dream big, Pete.
Yeah.
When the Roger Dream Patton big, podcast yeah. gets
truly
up a notch,
off.
You'll be up there with your Camerons, with your Camerons of the world. I thought you were going to say the plainclothes officers arrested you because you smelt like heroin and sloths or something like that. So that was quite
resembled.
A left. I was pretty taken aback by that.
I certainly resemble a sloth. Nice there's one. Probably a few. You know, those kind of like sloths are like their own ecosystems, and they kind of they kind of have their own version of moths. It's like a sloth moth, and it's a moth that only is found on a sloth. I think that's the case. I think I read that. I might just be tired.
Stop saying words that rhyme. It's giving me a headache. Bloody hell. Well, what I did on my flight, I finally got round to binge-watching Tokyo Vice, Ansel Elgort, Ken Watanabe, some other actors whose names I can't remember. But it was actually pretty good. I do recommend giving it a watch. Like, the script's pretty decent. The characters are kind of fun. And they do Tokyo justice and sort of make it seem quite sinister. The cinematography is on point. I do think there could be a little bit more tension in some of the scenes, given that we're dealing with gangsters. But even the Yakuza seem quite polite in Tokyo Vice, which I guess is a fairly accurate reflection of the real thing.
The guy seemed a bit wet, I thought. Would that be fair? Like the guy, the main guy. Just he seemed a bit
Ansel.
What?
Ansel Elgort. That was his name, the actor. Ansel.
Yeah,
Elgort.
He just seemed a bit like in the trailer. He just seemed a bit like, it just seemed a bit wet. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know if they could have cast someone better. I'm not too sure. It feels like there's a real stretch. There's one scene where. You know, the character's based on real-life Jake Adelstein.
Yeah.
But in the TV show, they have, like, a really cool montage in the opening episode, the first 5 minutes. It's like... It's like Euro-pop music playing, Euro-beat music, as he's, like, doing some kanji characters in a book, as he's teaching an English class and riding the train and eating sushi and ordering fish. It's quite like, wow, this is exciting. And he's, like, intercut with scenes of Aikido, him doing, like, Aikido martial arts. And it's like, oh... I know they're doing this for a reason. Mm. And then about 3 or 4 episodes in, spoilers, he gets in a fight with the Yakuza, these two battle-hardened Yakuza who look like they could murder anyone. And he, like, holds them off and, like, beats them up in his apartment, and it's like, oh, this is a bit of a stretch. Like a few hours of Aikido.
Lovely.
Versus two battle-hardened murderers, and he somehow is able to put up a good fight. That's the bit where I was like, oh, don't know how much I believe this bit. Don't know how much this I buy into this, but Ken Watanabe is very good.
Yeah.
He plays a very Ken Watanabe character. Every other sentence is just a proverb of just some sort of ridiculous proverb.
Right.
Of course it is. He's like, man, he'll just whip out a proverb for no reason, like, man must be like a butterfly in the wind. And the main character's like, yeah, sure. And it's just like, why does every film that Ken Watanabe is in have to have like a proverb in every other sentence?
Right.
Why is that like a prerequisite?
Because
he did it in Last Samurai.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess do they not sort of like they impart kind of a kind of mystical, thoughtful kind of wise thing to any Japanese character in these kind of shows?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, imagine if Natsuki did that.
I was telling I think I said it on the podcast. It's like my partner asked Natsuki what the Japanese do on Christmas Day, and he said. He said, foreign lover?
What? What? What does that mean?
I don't know. Just look, hang out with a foreign lover.
That sounds really shady. What do you do on Christmas Day, Natsuki? Foreign lover.
Yeah.
Exactly. It sounds like an admission of guilt, if anything. Bloody hell.
Crikey.
But I just released a video.
Oh, yes.
Called Tokyo in a Day. Walking across all of Tokyo in a single day with the American version of you. And it went pretty well.
When did you sort of do this? Because obviously you've been... Was that before Christmas you filmed this? I'm trying to figure out when it was actually done. Or did you just do it like 5 minutes ago?
rolled off the plane and did a walk across Tokyo. No, I did it a few days before I left left for the UK and whatnot. And I did quite a few videos in that week. So I've got like 2-3 videos coming out this week. And they were all shot sort of the week before I left for the US.
Right.
And I'm sort of, rather than being smart and spreading them out, I'm just going to put them all out this week like an idiot. That doesn't make any sense. But it did really well. The concept, walking across Tokyo in a day, was very popular. I don't know quite how much educational value is in the video, because it's just Pete and I drinking some whiskey in a marketplace, or Pete buying some fucking strawberries covered in sugar. It was a bit weird, but I don't know. It's a nice concept, isn't it? Seeing what you can do kind of in a day.
Yeah.
You walked,
cutting around
about 25 kilometres. Yeah, like I always say to folks coming to Japan, like, it's nice to just have one day where you can just sort of do nothing and just sort of walk across Tokyo and see what happens, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And we started in Asakusa by the Sensoji Temple and ended over in Shibuya. But we did that really nice route, went through Ueno Market, went to Akihabara and Tokyo Station, Shinbashi, Roppongi, all the favourites.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely a series worth carrying on and doing more of. Like, we should do one. When you do come over, maybe we could do one. I'd like to pick every major Japanese city though, and then just go across it in a day and see what we can find, kind of thing.
Well, it's good because you can kind of like, it's when you're on holiday and stuff, you are not kind of getting much exercise. I mean, I guess you are because you're walking around, but like if you really sort of test yourself and sort of go, I'm going to walk from this side of the town to the other side of the town and just see what you see. I mean, you might see nothing, but I think videos like that I really enjoy because they're a bit like, not ASMR-y, but they're quite like, we don't know what we're going to find. It's not like a planned trip. You're not going to a brewery or something. You're just kind of cutting them out town. It's quite nice to sort of discover stuff. And I mean, you'd have to be willing to kind of lose a lot of footage because you've just walked across town. You're like, I don't know what I've done. Don't know what we've done. We found nothing.
I mean, we could have gone on. The video could have been an hour, but we managed to butcher it down to about 30 minutes, which I think is the right time. We did 25 kilometres. We did 30,000 steps. How many calories do you think we burnt?
It's probably like only 1,000 or something thing. Mad like that. It's probably something annoying.
Yeah, we burnt 1,500 calories.
Yeah.
What a load of shit.
What a load
Why
of
is
shit.
Walking so rubbish?
Walking around. What Why? A load of shit.
Well, isn't that how this is just rubbish? Why did humans not evolve to burn off more calories when walking? Maybe it makes sense.
Just wear one of those weird weight months. Suits or something. Just wear one of those weird weight suits that you just kind of like the weight just shifts off.
I made Pete carry my rucksack with all the stuff in. So maybe he got more calories burned.
Oh no!
God bless him. He just had his appendix removed as well.
Okay.
You know what better way to get into shape and rebuild some muscle? But to be fair, I was holding the camera, so yeah, we evenly split it.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
No, it's a lot of fun. And I've got a video coming out tonight about 48 hours walking the Nakasendo Trail.
What's the Nakasendo Trail? What's the Nakasendo Trail, Chris?
It's a mountain route that, like, Tokyo and Kyoto used to be only accessible by 5 routes, and one of those was the Nakasendo Trail that goes straight through the mountains of central Japan. It's about 500 kilometres long, and a really nice place. Lots of beautiful little mountain post towns, they're called, because there's 69 towns along the route. Someone was having a laugh when they picked that number out of the hat. But there's 69 towns along this route, right? And the samurai and travellers would stop there when making the pilgrimage between Edo and Kyoto. But it's just a really nice area. You're supposed to hike it over the course of like a week.
Right.
We did it in a car in 48 hours, so pick your weapons, pick your transport. I would like to have walked it in an ideal world, but I went with Ryotaro and Sharla, and it was a nice chilled out trip.
Nice.
I think it'd be fun, but it's and also we ate a bear.
What?
Because that's what we
do.
What
a shame. I'm sure. Don't worry, everyone. Don't start complaining. Don't start emailing your local government representative. I'm sure all will come clear when the video comes out.
Well, I mean, it was a dead bear. We didn't eat it.
Oh, dead bear. It sounded even worse and worse. Unbelievable.
You eat cows and pigs and sheep and a lamb and a horse.
I had a lamb a couple of days ago. It was lovely.
You'll eat a bear as well.
Delicious.
You'll have all the bear. Yeah, I mean, they have these... basically, the bear meat comes from bears that have been naughty and strolled into the town, harassed the locals, and it's been shot or whatever by a hunter. And then it's turned into dinner.
It was
a weird thing. You know, I don't know how I feel about it, really. It tasted great, though, and that's the sad truth. I wouldn't go out my way to normally eat a bear, though, but it did taste good.
Yeah.
It looks very visually appealing as well in the video. It looks like Parma ham. Looks like sliced.
You're the worst. I was willing to give you the benefit of the doubt, but turns out you're the worst. Oh dear, good stuff.
It's good stuff, Ben.
All right.
We don't really have much for a podcast this week, guys. We did 20 minutes talking
about our lives. What more do you want?
I was going to say, do you have? Because we do have a podcast coming up in the next few days, but this one was more of a impromptu catch-up episode.
Yeah.
It's also a sad time because it's the 3-year anniversary of the Sapporo Snow Festival this week, which is the last time you were here, right?
And that's
that was
true, yes.
A really nice trip. And lots of people are going and descending upon Hokkaido as we speak. I'm actually off to Hokkaido. Not for the Snow Festival, but for another series of your favourite series, Journey Across Japan. It's back.
Chris
gets in Hokkaido.
Frostbite. Chris gets lots of frostbite in his
JAJ Frostbite Edition. Yeah. We're trying to think of a name for it, actually, because it's going to be set in Hokkaido,
right,
on the far eastern side. And I wanted to call it Journey Across Japan Far East.
Right.
Other candidates
far,
include
far east.
Journey Across Japan Snow Kingdom, Journey Across Japan Deep Freeze,
right,
Journey
yep.
Across Japan Ice to See You.
Hokkaido, don't believe it.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Hokkaido, don't believe it. That's that. I thought Ice to See You couldn't be topped.
Ice to See You. I think Hokkaido, don't believe it. Just try and squeeze it. Well, if you're not going to use that title, just try and squeeze it into the video at some point. Just give us a Hokkaido, don't believe it.
Hokkaido, don't believe it.
If you don't, Natsuki will.
Somebody's going to whip out a pun.
Yeah.
Well, what do you reckon, though? And what do you think, Far East? Because we're going to go to the... Do you know, the far most Far East point in Japan is actually in Hokkaido.
Mm.
And that is the most eastern point in Japan that's accessible. Because there is another point on a little disused, fucked-up island in the Pacific that kind of wins. But you can't go there. Whereas this place, you can go to.
Oh,
so I was thinking Far East. Does that sound good?
The Far East of the Far East.
Journey Across Japan, Far East.
No, yeah, Journey Across Japan, the eastiest. Travel to the eastiest of easts, eastiest.
Journey Across Japan.
The beast in the eastiest. The beast in the eastiest bit of the east. Beast in the east. Beast in the east. Yeast in... No, are you just going to drink into it? Yeast in the east.
Yeast in the east.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting further away from a good
title.
Oh,
you do Dry January, you're going least yeast in the east. You beast.
Oh, dear.
Two beasts.
Why are you rhyming so much today? What has jet lag done to you?
Every fucking sentence
is a limerick or a rhyme or a riddle.
All right.
Well,
why don't we take a short break and we'll come back with a couple of news stories that I know you, Chris, are going to love. And also,
I think the
listeners will probably enjoy them as well.
Less rhyming, more news.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan. And we're back with the beast in the eastiness.
Oh, God. Oh, he's having too much fun today.
It's that, it's that kind of...
You're not supposed to have fun.
This is what happens when you got jet lag. Like, the first couple of shows you do, certainly as a podcaster, you're quite enjoying it because you're a bit, like, tired and you're, like, you know, you've not done it for a while, so you're quite energised. Because I know you criticise me for taking loads of holidays all the time. When I don't, I just get away every now and again. When I get back, I'm like, oh, this is, like, I'm really excited about doing shows again. And then, but you are ill.
And after a week, you're bored.
Yeah, well, after a week, you're just like, yeah, I mean, that one I did last week when I just got off the jet lag, I mean, that was mental. You didn't make any sense there, Peter. But yeah, so it's sometimes it's good to be a little bit tired. Anyway, Chris, have you heard that the world is saved? Or certainly the Japanese world is saved. No one's got any money. Inflation is rising and rising in pretty much every territory in the known universe. And we need help. We need help. And Lawson, one of our favourite, not our favourite, but one of our favourite, your favourite, alright fine, convenience stores, is going to be helping out during the month of February. So if you're going to Japan, you're going to get more bang for your buck in the Lawsons around the Japan. Apparently, like, a lot of prices are going to go up in April, and a lot of other food items around the country went up by an average of 14% in 2022, and the wages obviously haven't kept pace with that. So Lawson have got involved, and they are, good God, they, instead of making their prices cheaper to help people out with the cost of living, or as some idiots over here call it, the cozy living, they have increased the size of some of their products but kept the price the same, which seems like a lot of work. Just make it cheaper, for crying out loud.
What the hell?
So,
like, what?
For example, the Neapolitan spaghetti, which is like this ball of spaghetti you can stick in the microwave.
Horrible.
I mean, it looks rank.
Disgusting.
It's absolutely rank.
It's really bad.
It has gotten a little bit bigger. It's got considerably larger for the same price of 235 yen. Again, very, very cheap, though. £1.8. Anyway, it's got bigger, and you get two boiled eggs, or two halves of boiled eggs instead of just one, for the same price. Weight increases of 47%. The one that I'm kind of concentrating on is the disgusting fried rice and yakisoba bento. No, not even the bento. Sorry, the yakisoba rolls, which is something you only ever see in Japan. Yakisoba noodles in a kind of chop suey kind of sort of chow mein-y kind of sauce in
bun.
Yeah, so in a big bun. So they've made these disgusting yakisoba rolls even bigger for your delectation, but they're going to be selling it for the same price. I would like them smaller, if anything. Fucking disgusting.
I mean, they're not as bad as you'd think. It just feels a bit weird biting into a sandwich and just getting a mouthful of noodles. But sometimes,
like,
they have karaage chicken thrown in.
It's
if you close your eyes and have a mental breakdown, yes, it tastes like a worm sandwich. But to anyone who's normal, it tastes like just noodles. It's good. It's not bad, honestly. That's one of the sandwiches I probably reach for more than any other in the convenience store. So don't rule it out.
Really? So that's the one you would go for? I go for the disgusting sandwichy cream and strawberries. I don't know, it's disgusting. When they increase the size of these things in Lawson during the month of February...
An extra noodle.
You get like a hot dog that doesn't have one sausage, it has two sausages in it. And also, with their custard cream puffs, they're injecting 47% more custard cream. And the way the way they've shown this is do like a cross section of the custard cream puff, and it kind of looks like the you know when you get like a brain scan and you go, that's bone. And it just looks like the bone has expanded to the entire, you know, the part of your brain where your brain should be. It looks absolutely rank. So, yeah, but a lot of people are big fans of the size increase. And I think there's something to be said for that. It just seems like, why would you change or modify your machining and, you know, the people putting these rotten objects together? Why would you change their kind of whole plan for the day instead of just, you know, making your prices just a little bit cheaper? Be easy, wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah, I guess they can still make more profit by having slightly enlarged versions of food over actually lowering the price, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And this actually could lead to more sales just due to the publicity. So I don't know. Mm. It's a clever move. You know, I like the idea that a company is trying to help, though, and is trying to do something, even though I suspect it's hardly an altruistic technique. Like, oh, we're going to make one of our sandwiches 40% bigger. Come and buy all our stuff, even though most of it's gone up in price anyway. Like, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't take it at face value, but it's still nice, isn't it? It's nice that they care. It's nice that I can get an extra mouthful of noodle sandwich when I walk into Lawson's. And when is this from February?
That's February, today.
Oh, crikey.
It's happening.
Whoa, what am I waiting for? I'm going to hang up this podcast and get me some Lawson's. It's some pretty cool news, though. We're going to wrap things up there, though, guys. Because Pete and I are very hastily, bleary-eyed, hosting this podcast today. We're pretty knackered. We're going to get back into the swing of things in a few days with your comments and questions. Stick around for that. But for now, guys, have a great day. Have a great... Well, I don't know what day it is. Yeah, what day is it, Pete?
It's Wednesday, mate. Yeah.
There you go.
We're all good. I
hope you have a great week, guys. Do check out the Nakasendo video in Abroad in Japan that's coming out tonight. And do check out, if you missed it, Walking Across Tokyo in a Day. We'll be back later in the week, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, go and have a noodle sandwich. Stay away from the gibbons, Woo-hoo! The monkeys and the sloths. And we'll be right back in the next few days. Still all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.